You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, UW-Madison senior Sarah Nurse is a star hockey player. She's also one of the few black women active in the sport. We talk with her about her experiences.
First, manufacturing jobs were a hot topic in the presidential race and continue to be a priority for President Trump in his first days in office.
In his inauguration speech, President Trump said trade deals were letting other countries steal manufacturing jobs.
One by one, the factories shuttered and left our shores with not even a thought about the millions and millions of American workers that were left behind.
According to the Federal Reserve, U.S. manufacturing output is near a record high, while manufacturing jobs have been in major decline. In his farewell speech, President Obama pointed to another cause of the decline in manufacturing jobs, technology.
I agree, our trade should be fair and not just free. But the next wave of economic dislocations won't come from overseas. It will come from the relentless pace of automation that makes a lot of good middle-class jobs obsolete.
Our next guest has written a series of pieces about the impact of automation on manufacturing and other jobs in the United States and finds that technology is having a bigger impact than outsourcing. Claire Kane Miller joins us now. She's a correspondent for The Upshot in the New York Times, where she writes about gender, families, and the future of work. Claire, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you looked, Claire, into a lot of economic analysis on this issue. When it comes to manufacturing job losses, what's the balance of blame between trade and technology?
So over the long term, it's not even close. Economists say automation and technology have had a much, much bigger impact than anything to do with globalization. One study that tried to pinpoint the numbers said it was about 87% the fault of automation and about 13% the result of things like trade and other parts of globalization.
Right. We hear sometimes over the years lately, we don't make anything in America anymore. But are we seeing sectors where production has stayed the same or even gone up while jobs went down?
Absolutely. Most manufacturing, like you said in the introduction, is at an all-time high. The steel industry is one example. It's lost 75% of its workforce since 1962. Production and shipments have not changed at all. And the reason is that robots are doing these jobs now.
So each individual worker who's still there is producing way more units. We're getting a lot more output per worker than we used to. So we need way fewer workers. That's the story in a nutshell, isn't it?
That's exactly right, because there are machines that are doing a lot of the stuff that workers used to do.
So who's hardest hit? The workers who don't have these jobs because of automation?
Right now, it's the people who had routine jobs. Those are the things that are the easiest to program a machine to do, things like loading items on to a conveyor belt or stocking items into regular-sized boxes, the kind of things that are unpredictable, that are very predictable work. Those are the things that have been automated so far in factories and manufacturing plants. But automation's affecting a lot of other jobs, too. If you think about, secretaries who used to spend a lot of time filing paper, now Microsoft Word does that for us. Or there's even robots who are administering anesthesia. So an anesthesiologist is a very highly educated, very highly trained doctor, obviously, and robots are even learning to do those jobs.
Well, and I look at things like ATMs affecting bank tellers, self-check lanes and grocery stores, maybe fewer jobs there. And this could be a big one in the future, driverless cars and all the jobs that involve driving, whether it's cars or trucks. This isn't a trend that's going to change anytime soon, is it?
Not at all. You're right that truck driving is the number one most common job in a lot of states and definitely under threat. The technology is already there. The thing about technological progress is it always moves forward. It doesn't really stall or move backward. And frankly, no one's really suggesting that it should. Mm-hmm.
Talking to Claire Kane Miller, she writes for the New York Times, the upshots there, talking about automation as a big factor, much bigger, a lot of economists say, most economists say, than trade in manufacturing and other job losses. So, Claire, in the past, we've seen new technologies come along, wipe out one kind of jobs, but create lots of opportunities, lots of new jobs. Are we seeing that happen this time around?
That is what technologists, the people who make this technology, and a lot of economists are really hoping will happen, because you're right, it's always happened in the past. People always use the example of buggy makers. They went out of business, but people got better jobs. Bank tellers, instead of just handing out money, they became financial advisors. That's a more highly skilled job. It pays better. It's considered a better job. So the hope is that's what will happen. But it's really too early to say. There are some signs that this time might be different. If you look at the things that machines are learning to do, it's now things that people thought would always be jobs for humans, like understanding emotions or doing unpredictable kinds of work. At the same time, wages have really stagnated, which some economists say points to the idea that this time could be different.
Even if it's not different, even in that best case scenario where new jobs come along, there's this situation where the people who have lost the old jobs can't just suddenly leap into those. What did you hear from economists about ways that we could be maybe helping people dislocated by automation?
Sure. And that's what the hardest part is, those people who are really left in the lurch. They're losing their jobs right now. Say they're in their 50s. They don't really have the time or the capacity to train for a new job and start a new career at this point. A lot of the suggestions have to do with making the safety net stronger. These are things like, providing better unemployment. The Obama administration put out a report right before the president left suggesting something like wage insurance, where if you lose your job in a factory where you made $20 an hour and the only job you can get makes $10 an hour, maybe there's some insurance that makes up the difference for you. Some of the most extreme ideas are things like a universal basic income, where everyone in a country gets a base salary out of an acknowledgement that some of these jobs are going away. But with the current political environment, it doesn't look likely that any of these things will necessarily happen soon.
Well, Claire, as you mentioned earlier, economists saying about 87%, I think was the number of manufacturing job losses, could be attributed to automation, as opposed to a much smaller amount for trade. In this presidential campaign, we heard a lot more about trade than we did about automation. Why are we focusing on what sounds like the much smaller problem?
It's much easier to say that another country is the villain than to say technology is the villain. We all, like to have our iPhones. Silicon Valley is in America. It is, this technology is benefiting the United States in many ways. And so even though it does have this negative side effect, this negative consequence, it's really much easier to cast other countries as a villain.
So even if we see success stories where places that had lost factories in the past get a factory back, it sounds like odds are that factory is going to employ much fewer people than the old one did.
The big example was Carrier, the company that Trump talked a lot about during his campaign. And right after he was elected, he convinced them through a lot of tax cuts, by offering them a lot of tax cuts, to not close down a factory they were going to close down in the United States. The CEO of that company said, "We are going to use these tax cuts to invest in automation." And he said, ultimately, that will mean fewer jobs for Americans. Nobody is trying to even hide this.
Do you see, you've talked obviously to economists who are raising this concern. Do you see people in the American political system paying enough attention to this issue of job dislocation and loss because of automation?
I think it really came up in this campaign because it can seem that it's divorced from a lot of voters, because these largely right now are jobs in factories and manufacturing, and those jobs are based largely in the Midwest. A little bit of coal mining, a little bit of timber in the Pacific Northwest, but it's not affecting everybody yet. So it really has become a major issue, though, especially when some people were surprised, who hadn't been affected by this by Donald Trump being elected. There are a lot of people out there whose careers, whose jobs, whose sense of being able to support their families and do what they trained to do their whole lives is really in jeopardy.
And Claire, as we wrap up, that's a huge question. What is the future of work? What would we have to do to solve this to make sure people dislocated end up with those jobs that can support families?
Well, one big answer that a lot of people point to is education. That's how we made the transition from a farming economy to an industrial economy. That's when people started going to high school because they needed to learn how to do these new kinds of jobs. We in the United States are falling behind other countries in educating our kids. The test scores are going down. The Obama administration, again, in that report it put out right before it left, said this starts as early as 4 years old, getting four-year-olds into high-quality preschool and getting more people with college degrees or at least vocational skills that they can do jobs in the new economy.
Claire, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Claire Kane Miller, correspondent for The Upshot in the New York Times. We've been talking about the impact of automation on jobs here in the United States.
Coming up, we visit with Badger women's hockey star Sarah Nurse about being one of just a few black women prominent in the sport. Stay with us here on Central Time.